Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
The battle for America is on.
Neil Diamond turns 85. His famous song and beloved at Boston's Fenway Park, Sweet Caroline. Anyway, Don Lemon's ridiculous claim that the First Amendment guarantees the freedom to violate the First Amendment is, rather lemon-like. Oh, and by the way, the dude with the toad has been arrested. When did it happen that the First Amendment became primarily about freedom of the press? And like religious freedom, that part of it is just secondary. Now, what is a journalist anyway? They claim Lemon is one of those. Globalism goes local. The locals trying to micromanage our lives are COVID overreach on meth. Get a load of what's coming to a neighborhood near you. Election integrity news. And finally, is this the domino theory in reverse? I mean, Trump, who has broken the grip of Marx over Venezuela, now turns his attention to Cuba. All right, my friends, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic. A gourmet meal for the mind.
Neil Diamond turns 85. I found a social media post depicting Diamond at Fenway Park, aged in a wheelchair, unable to finish his Boston famous song, Sweet Caroline, and the crowd picking up and finishing the song for him. It reminded me of an incident that occurred in Russia when one of my students was singing a hymn in the House of Prayer Baptist Church, where I was preparing to preach, attempting to sing it in Russian. But he ran into some trouble, and it was awkward for a moment, but only a moment, when the entire congregation began singing the hymn, carrying him along, and he was able to join them and finish it out. And if I remember correctly, I believe they sang it in English. It was really quite moving. Alas, however, this story concerning Neil Diamond is an embellished version of the 2013 event. He was in a wheelchair because of back surgery. But heroically stepped up to his responsibilities and kept his engagement to appear at the famous Boston Baseball Park, where he did almost every year, to sing Sweet Caroline between the eighth and ninth inning. Kind of kept folks there, you know. I think the audience sang with him, as many audiences did, as many audiences enjoyed doing on that particular song. So the social media post is fan lore. The truth, however, is pretty cool. Even with Parkinson's, Diamond continues to shine. Don Lemon has been arrested. A grand jury indicted him, and so the judge who tried to shield him from the reach of law got countermanded by a jury of his peers, who heard the evidence and said, yeah, you gotta arrest that dude. Don Lemon's ridiculous claim is that the First Amendment guarantees to him the freedom to violate it. Now, when did it happen that the First Amendment became primarily about freedom of the press and only secondarily about the freedom of religion? Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances, end quote. How funny. Quote, or the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and quote, just put right there next to each other. The government has responsibility to protect the free exercise of religion. If the federal government refuses to protect the free exercise in the states and allows states to selectively decide whose religious liberty they will protect, it will be guilty of prohibiting free exercise. It will be in violation of the Constitution. So, you know, what is the problem with Democrats and the rule of law? They just don't seem to be able to get that together. When did the First Amendment become the exclusive property of journalists? Freedom of the press is not a superior right to freedom of religion, even though it is rooted in religious freedom, by the way. Besides, freedom of the press is about publishing and speaking. It's not about the so-called press's right to barge into a public worship service and disrupt the activities of Christ's embassy. Yeah, Jesus is the king. All mankind are his subjects. The church is his ecclesia. As Charlie Kirk once pointed out, this is a political word. It identifies a regularly convening body of persons appointed to conduct the business of a city-state in the Greek city-states for a term. Now, that's the word Jesus chose to identify his assembly. He said, I will build, not my synagogue, he said, I'll build my ecclesia. No one in Jesus' day would hear the word ecclesia and think called out ones. They would think of the political assembly appointed to conduct the city-state's political business. Now, let me ask you a question. When I say automobile, do you think self-moving? No. You think of what the word was coined to identify, something we casually refer to as a car, in its relationship to being a cart, that carried cargo. The word automobile was coined because it's a cart that moves without being pulled by a horse. The church is the ecclesia of the kingdom of Jesus Christ because it is a regular convening body of persons appointed by Christ to conduct the business of his kingdom. And to conduct this business, he has given to the church the keys of the kingdom, so that whatever it binds on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever it looses on earth is loosed in heaven. It has supernatural operating power to act in Jesus' name, in this world, on behalf of his kingdom. When Paul persecuted the church, Jesus took it personally. When a king named Herod touched the church, Jesus rebuked the foolish king and finally killed him. Acts 12, those foolish people who breach the embassy of King Jesus are in serious trouble. They had better repent. The civil government is under the ordaining authority of Christ, Romans 13, 1-6. They had better enforce the laws that clearly prohibit interference with religious worship, or they're going to come under the scrutiny of his eyes as a flame of fire. The arrogance of Don Lemon, as Vince would say, and Democrats to exalt the right of the press above the right to worship? Are you kidding me? I suggest you make a public statement to the effect that you acknowledge the right of worship freely is at least equal to the right of a free press, and that no journalist should ever be so arrogant as to exalt his or her right to cover a story above the right of Christ's disciples to gather in peaceful assembly and exercise their divine right to worship their creator without these ragers, Psalm 2, against the Lord and against his anointed, screaming and accusing and demanding and using force and violent intimidation and violation of rights to force themselves into a house of God and disrupt Christians there to worship their creator. Stand down, you folks. You'd best kiss the sun, lest he be angry, according to Psalm 2, verse 12. What is a journalist anyway? As most of you know, Lemon was arrested in L.A. while covering the Grammys. I think it was the Grammys, maybe the Emmys or something. Anyway, as if he's some journalist or something. Not being playful, but did you know this guy was fired from CNN? He doesn't have any press credentials of any kind. He made a deal with X that fell apart before it started. He's unemployed, basically. He's no more a journalist than Nick Shirley would be called a journalist. In fact, I would say he is less of a journalist than Nick. As for the title, journalism or journalist, the term refers to anyone who creates a journal of information to share with others. Let's put it this way. If being a journalist means you work for a news agency, Don Lemon is not one. If he can be an independent journalist, well, then he has no more credibility to be called a journalist than does Nick Shirley and many others of us. And actually, even less when it comes to Nick. Nick has a larger and more established and stable audience than Lemon. He has also been exceedingly more effective and impactful than Lemon. Comparing Lemon to Shirley is kind of like comparing a kid with a lemonade stand to a local supermarket. I think Shirley has over 500,000 dedicated followers, and Lemon is doing well to get an audience of 50,000 to 60,000 when he posts. I don't care what metric you use. surely is having a real impact on this world, and Lemon is like some yapping dog that's more annoying than cute. Get real. The entire group that made the decision to go into that church and disrupt the service should come out with a public apology for disrupting Jesus' church, and the leaders should be fined and jailed. And in my mind, the greatest offender here was Lemon. Of everyone involved in that business, he certainly should have known better and should have told that crowd to stay on the street. Don't go inside and harass anybody. Don't block anyone's entry or departure. Don't go in there and interrupt the service and disrupt them. And have respect for their rights as you would have them respect yours. You have heard of that one, haven't you, Mr. Don Lemon? The doing to others thing? All right, globalism goes local. The loco locals trying to micromanage our lives are like COVID overreach on meth. It's weird. I did a show recently on Trump breaking down Nimrod's tower, busting up the globalist agenda of the globalist elites. Now we've got what are called C40 cities, climate leadership group, planning to advance the globalist agenda locally. And here are some of the restrictions they recommend. Limit meat consumption to 16 kilograms, 560 ounces per person per year. Now that's the equivalent of less than one 11-ounce steak per week, or less than one half a rack of ribs per week. Now, I didn't say per day, I said per week. If you go to Moe's and enjoy a half rack of ribs, well, that's it. No more meat for you, buddy, for the rest of the week. And by the way, that's the progressive target of meat consumption. And they hope to hit it by 2030. The ambitious target for 2030 is zero meat, none. They don't want you to eat any meat. Now, here's what the Bible says, 1 Timothy 4, 1-3. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Well, okay, so what does that have to do with the Spirit operating in the globalist children of disobedience? The spirit of Antichrist. Well, keep reading. Forbid, they are identified by this. They forbid to marry and command to abstain from meats, which God hath ordained are created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Commanded to abstain from meats. That's interesting. What's that? No one is commanding you to abstain from meats. Okay. Yeah, and no one was mandating vaccines and no one was mandating masks. And wait a minute. That's right, they were. They didn't start that way, but they did very soon go that way. They always start with a recommendation, you know, and when you object or don't play along, then they go to arresting you and forcing you into some isolation camp, Australia, or they fire you from your job, medical people and soldiers, or they ban you from their stores or kick you off an American Airlines flight if you wear a Trump mask. You can't see me, but I'm grinning wryly. But that's not all. These climate alarmists have a goal to restrict you to 8 new clothing items per person per year. Their ambitious goal is 3. They want to reduce the number of vehicles to 190 per 1,000 people, and that's being generous because their real objective is 0. You may have one short-haul return flight defined as a total of 1,500 kilometers, which is approximately 932 miles to and from a destination. Yeah, maybe if you ask nice, you can get a one-way ticket that'll take you 932 miles. And that's only one trip per 2 years per person. For your electronic devices, such as laptops, mobile phones, and so on, you can replace them or purchase them a new one. You know, it's every 7 years. Now, raise your hand if you know that none of this will apply to Bill Gates. And his pals? Oh, the wind generated by the massive raising of furious hands blew my hair into a fro. Don't make the mistake of thinking this is some impossible scenario years away from implementation. Now, Oxford has implemented some C40 interventions. By the way, they call them interventions, such as ZEZ, zero emissions zones. And they have committed to zero carbon emissions goals. Their target to reach zero emissions is 2040. They have traffic filters on certain streets that require permits, limiting you to 100 passes through those filters per year, and for some, only 25. If you exceed these limits, you're fined. This is also a broad movement in the United States. 35 of the 50 largest United States cities have adopted local climate action plans, and they're taking the C40 recommendations seriously. Worldwide, almost 100 cities collaborate with the C40 Cities Climate Leadership Group, who are committed to cut fossil fuel use in half by 2030. Well, Trump has broken the globalist tower. You can see my last show, episode 1074. But in the same way that Nimrod's first tower came down and splintered the one world government into bits, where all the bits went and started implementing Nimrod's model of separating the people from their creator and bringing them under an Antichrist king, many are digging about in the rubble of the tower, trying to implement the globalist agenda in local municipalities all over the world. The number one critical thing we must do to block the Antichrist spirit from implementing Satan's oppressive enslavement of mankind is to secure election integrity.
Encounter God.
And we'll talk about that when I get back.
The word encounter means to meet, to experience, to come face to face, to confront. Many encounters are routine happenstances, but even these can have a major impact on our lives. I'm sure each of you listening to this can think of encounters that made a difference in your life. But the greatest life-changing encounter in any life will be those encounters with God that make a difference. Perhaps you've encountered God in the past, but it's been a while since you experienced God in a vital, meaningful encounter. Renew your experience of God with a fresh encounter this year that will impact your life for spiritual growth. Perhaps you've never experienced God, and He doesn't seem real to you. You can encounter God, and when you do, your life will take on new meaning and purpose, and you'll know that God is real.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheibach is on the air.
Hello and welcome to it. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheibach. I pastor Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California. I'm your brain masseur and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singing the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Election integrity news. The Department of Justice has sued Virginia to compel the release of its voter rolls. Virginia has to be sued by the Department of Justice to release their voting rolls because, what? They're still fighting the Civil War? When it comes to federal elections, the federal government has a legitimate interest in policing elections for the people's federal officers, such as congressional and presidential elections. The executive and legislative branches have a responsibility to intervene if there is any suspicion of state negligence in complying with federal election laws. Virginia must submit to the Supremacy Clause of the Constitution. You ever read the Supremacy Clause? No? Well, let's fix that. Quote, "This Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary, notwithstanding," end quote. And while we're on the issue of treaties, Gavin Newsom should be arrested and brought to trial for ignoring our president's action to pull us out of the World Health Organization, for failure to honor his office and decision to do that, using his executive power to take us out of that wicked, rights-devouring, liberty-compromising organization. Well, Gavin pulls us right back into it here in this state. He cannot hold California within an international organization in direct defiance, in contradiction to the foreign policy actions of our executive branch. Another Supremacy Clause violation. I think a case can be made for that. Back in 2024, it seems like a century has passed, you know, but Judicial Watch entered suit against Oregon over its failure to properly manage its voter rolls in accordance with federal and state law. The state's effort to have the case dismissed failed, and the ongoing litigation was joined by the Public Interest Legal Foundation, and the Department of Justice began showing an interest in the case after the November 2024 election. Now, all of this certainly prompted Oregon's Secretary of State to announce in January 2026 that Oregon would resume the lawful mandate to remove all inactive voters from their rolls. See, they were disobeying the law. Oregon is clearing out 800,000 inactive names. Judicial Watch efforts have contributed to the cleanup of over 5 million, quote, dirty voter names, end quote, from voter rolls, but there are 24 million names to go. Remember Lindell, the pillow guy? He has spent $100 million fighting Dominion since the 2020 election. Now, Dominion has been sold to a new owner. It's now called Liberty Voting, I think. From Dominion to Liberty. Now, that's interesting. Part of the purchase agreement required Dominion to settle all lawsuits, and they were able to get everyone to accept a deal they offered. Dominion offered to drop the suit against these people so long as they would promise to never talk about Dominion voting machines again in the future. They all settled. Lindell was approached with the same offer. He said pound sand, the equivalent thereof. They've hammered him the hardest. It cost him $100 million to defend himself so far. Now here's a deal for you, Dominion. Pay Lindell $200 million, and he does not have to forfeit his right to free speech. Oh, and by the way, Maduro is going to squeal like a stuck pig. What do you bet? What are the odds in Las Vegas on Maduro blowing the whistle on how he stole Venezuela with the Dominion system? Well, we'll see. That is, unless they Jeffrey Epstein him. I don't know really what went down on that, but it still looks a bit too slick and convenient for me. And I'm still trying to get my head around how this guy snapped his own neck. Anyway, Smartmatic, I understand, runs the same code used by Dominion. And it sued Fox News and Giuliani over what Tucker and Giuliani said about their role in the 2020 election theft. Not-so-Smartmatic has lately been indicted in a foreign bribery case. Uh-oh. The charges are based on the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. And it looks like they've got a pretty good case. What do you say about the prediction that they'll fall on the sword or they'll be pushed onto it to protect against the exposure of the 2020 election fraud? Well, we'll see. Remember the Dominion guy named Coomer? Patrick Byrne called him out on this Dominion executive statements, personally vowing to personally see to it that Trump did not win the 2020 presidential election. Yeah, some of you probably remember that. I certainly do. He did not like being exposed for this, and he sued Byrne. The latest development in that case is that Coomer's lawyer put forward a motion to suppress, or at least to significantly limit, any questions to Comer relating to his conversations with officials and representatives, Serbia, China, and Venezuela. Yeah, these three especially. And when the judge dismissed the notion to suppress, Coomer's attorney lost it. Yeah, he assaulted Byrne's attorney. What? Well, what do you say about that? So it turns out that Coomer admitted under oath that he did have conversations with these foreign countries. He admitted to discussing Dominion's equipment capabilities and vote adjudication software. You know what that's about, right? That's the business of allowing an election worker to review digital images of ballots that were flagged for, quote, unclear voter intent, end quote, huh? Allowing the reviewer to then resolve the voter intent issue and make corrections on the ballot without the voter being involved. Now, why do you suppose a foreign dictator like Maduro or his team of thugs would be interested in a feature like that? He also admitted to discussing election system code and programming. Now, that's getting pretty close to moving into proprietary issues, don't you think? Not the sort of thing that would be interesting to a layman or that he would even understand, unless you're talking about the neat stuff that programming allows the machines to do for you. Of course, this does not constitute an admission of wrongdoing. I know. It's sort of like that bit about the machines cannot be connected to the internet until it was proved that they can and are and in fact were. And then it was admitted, well, in fact, they can and were, but we didn't cheat. And you can't prove we cheated just because we could have. Yeah, it's kind of like that. And you probably already know that the FBI executed a search warrant at Fulton County Elections and Operations Hub near Atlanta on January 28, 2026. Cash reported that a federal judge reviewed the evidence and found probable cause to issue the warrant. The FBI took about 700 boxes containing original 2020 ballots, tabulator tapes from the machines, voting images and so on, and rolls and other documents. What is particularly curious to me is that Tulsi Gabbard was present at the scene. DNI involvement in a domestic law enforcement action? But it's the reaction of the Fulton County officials that is totally unsurprising to me. They become hostile, calling it political theater, retribution, and an attempt to undermine trust in elections. I laugh because, you know, listen, friend, dismissing the Republicans on a bogus emergency claim and then pulling boxes of ballots out from under tables that were hidden by table covering. So that and images of workers running the same ballots, stack of ballots through the machines multiple times. That's the sort of thing that undermines trust in elections. And that and then this, the fact that in January 2025, voting rights activist Stacey Abrams, remember her, a prominent figure in the Democratic Party, the undemocratic party, I should say, who served in the Georgia House of Representatives and ran for governor of Georgia, was accused of campaign finance violations. I say campaign election finance violations dating back to 2018. And she settled the suit by admitting to 16 violations and paying a $300,000 fine. I understand that's a record. She is a subject of interest in ongoing investigations into election fraud. So she's up to her neck in election fraud. And we'll have to wait to see if any further issues develop for her. Gotta begin the wrap. Trump broke the grip of the creator of communism, that's Karl Marx, who like a gorilla held Venezuela in his grip. And now he turns his attention to Cuba, where that gorilla holds the people in a chokehold of oppression. Trump signed an executive order declaring Cuba an unusual and extraordinary threat to the United States national security. Yeah, how about that? He has imposed tariffs on countries that supply oil to Cuba. Venezuela was practically Cuba's only source for oil. The operative word here is was. The president has already barred any shipments of oil to Cuba from Venezuela, and he has talked about blocking all shipments of oil to Cuba. As for Iran, well, will China and Russia join Iran in joint military exercises with a massive U.S. armada massing in that region? Iran has begun rebuilding damaged nuclear facilities, going deeper underground this time. No uranium enrichment has been spotted yet, but the capacity is being quickly restored. Iran has deployed what are called fast attack vessels near U.S. vessels. And I repeat, they are planning live fire exercises in the Strait of Hormuz. February 1 and 2 is when they're scheduled to start. And there is talk of a possibility that China and Russia will join in the exercises. This is believed to be an intention to deter any action by the U.S. against Iran. Folks, it's not gotten any closer to a major war in my lifetime. And I'm old enough to have been aware of what was going down during the Cuban Missile Crisis under Kennedy. I've lit the lamps of the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. You can email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net. Find the contact us button and fill in the form and send me an email. You can call me by going to our listener response hotline, 1-805-314-2114. Again, that number, 1-805-314-2114. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.